detention before the School of Hard Knocks. Is there anybody here who hasn't been to the School of Hard Knocks?
Mm-mm.
If you haven't, it's coming. But we have a solid rock on which we can stand.
Amen.
In his name is Jesus Christ.
Yes, it is.
Thank you.
Proverbs, in my opinion, is such a great book of wisdom. If you ever master the book of Proverbs, God bless you. I don't think this side of heaven we will ever master Proverbs. But this, what Solomon did here, he's kind of personified wisdom. But he clarified it right at the beginning of Proverbs, saying that the beginning of wisdom is what? The fear of the Lord. Right? So, true wisdom can never be separated from God and His Word. Does that make sense? Right? There's a lot of worldly wisdom around, and that's really, for the most part, poor. But godly wisdom, look at what the Holy Spirit writes to us. Would you read this with me? It says, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commandments in your heart. For they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart." Isn't that great? There's promises in there, right? When Joey, we never had terrible twos with Joey. We had terrible 12s. And he was good. I mean, he never gave us a real serious hard time. But, sometimes, I'd have to say to him, "Well, you want to live another year? See your 13th birthday?" And the promises are, if we cherish the wisdom of God, and the only way we learn the wisdom of God is through the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, then He's going to prosper us, not like you see with some of the television preachers, but He's going to prosper us through anything and sustain us, and He will extend our days. Whatever days that He has for us, He will extend our days. Unfortunately, we probably both know people, because of careless living, their days weren't extended. And that's unfortunate. But there's some precious promises we're doing. Behind those promises is a call to be faithful and loyal to God. God's always faithful and loyal to us. But what about our part? Right? So as we pray today, I really feel led to pray for our country. I don't want to make this political, but it seems like since COVID's been ending, violence has been like through the roof. Mass shootings and all. Unfortunately, I got a news feed this morning that the body of a woman was found right here in Weirton along the Barnegat Trail. And the death was suspicious. I mean, this is Barnegat. I mean, Weirton that we're talking about, right? And it just seems like people are almost like stressed to the hilt and looking in the wrong places to try to relieve that stress. Jesus has everything we need, along with His Word, along with the Holy Spirit. So will you join me in prayer? Father, a lot of what goes on in the world, quite honestly, will overwhelm us many times. But Father, you said it very plainly through your Son, when your Son walked this earth, that the world system, Father, is corrupt, evil, and the one in charge of it is Satan. And then Paul gives us a warning, Father, in Romans. Says, don't be pressed into the world system, but be transformed, continue to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I pray that the wisdom of the Word and the Holy Spirit would renew our hearts and our minds so that we in our daily lives can be faithful and loyal to the one who died for us, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray against this spirit of violence that's going around the country, this and this anti-authority attitude, thinking that without police it'll get better. Father, you ordained the powers to keep peace. And it seems like every week we're trying to violate more biblical principles, and we're suffering for it. Father, I ask that if you see fit, send a move of the Holy Spirit through this country, send revival with the churches, start with the churches first, for a season of repentance, confession, renewal, and revival. And then, Father, send a spiritual awakening to our country, because Jesus is our only hope. And as a church, Father, I pray that you help us be faithful to take the gospel wherever you lead us to, whoever you bring in front of us. And I pray this in Jesus' precious name. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. We're going to look today, the techno demons are alive. We're going to start looking at Paul's farewell speech to the Ephesian elders. And start to pick it apart a little bit, because there's a lot in there that applies to us today. So, I forgot my notes. See that? That's what happens when you get over 69. We'll do without the notes. How's that? Huh? Let's look at the first couple of verses. From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. So, Paul's in Miletus. This is the third missionary journey now. And he's in there, and he says to someone, one of his companions, go to Ephesus and tell the elders I want to meet with them. And I think he did this purposely to get the elders off site so they wouldn't have any interruptions or anything like that, so he could have their full attention. This is a really good thing to do. Sometimes companies use this, where they get their leadership off-site so there's no distractions, phones ringing, and all of that stuff. So Paul sends for them, says, when they arrived, he said to them, you know how I lived the whole time I was among you, from the first day I came into the province of Asia. One of the things that impressed me in this passage was that our loyalty shows itself in our history. Doesn't it? That's okay. Our loyalty shows itself in our history. What I mean by that, and then I commonly do this when I disciple people, I'll have them do a timeline of their life. You know, there's an old saying, 2020, hindsight's 2020, right? I'll have them do a timeline of their life, and I give them specific directions, and I'll say, one of the things I want you to do is put down any events that were major events, traumatic events, whatever shook you to the foundations of your faith. And when you look back on that, it'll give you an indicator of how you responded to those events. All right? Does that make sense? All right? I'm going to be quite honest with you. I meet too many professing Christians who give up too soon when life gets tough. They give up. Now, I'm not doubting their salvation or anything like that, but they give up. Things get too rough, and they give up. I want to suggest to you that as we look back over the years of our lives, and we don't want to live there, we just want to learn from it, the Spirit of God will reveal to us how loyal we are to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me preface this by saying we are never perfect. We won't be. We were never, we make mistakes. The key is, do we learn? Do we learn from the mistakes? And we confess them, repent of them, and go on with the Lord. See, that's the right way to respond. Solomon in Proverbs says, when a man falls seven times, if he gets up seven times, he's a winner. But when a man falls once and doesn't get up, he's a loser. And there's a lot of wisdom in that. Listen, sin isn't the end of the game. If it were, the Christ, the cross of Christ would be meaningless. We serve a God of 1,000 second chances. Alright? And I'm grateful for that. I'm not saying, listen, if you leave here today and you think that that gives us the license to sin, then you missed the whole point. I'm saying we're going to sin because we have a battle going on in us between the old nature that Adam gave to us and the new nature that Jesus gives to us the moment we believe in him. And if we don't guard our hearts, if we're not careful and looking to the Word of God for wisdom and how to walk, how to respond to the craziness that's all out here, then we're going to fall. It's easy for a professing Christian to fall. Let me give you one of the warning signs. If you think you have it all together, you're going to be tripping up real soon. Right? What does Paul say? Well, even the Old Testament. Pride comes before what? A fall. Let me give you a couple of more verses here in relation to this. This is still talking about Paul's past here. It's estimated that Paul was near the end of his life here. He was old. Not that there's anything wrong with being old, but he was old, and he was probably going to a court soon, and he knew that. We'll see that in a minute. And because he preached the gospel all his life, it would probably cost him his life. And he knew that. But look, he says to the elders, I have served with great humility and with tears in the midst of severe testing by the plots of Jewish opponents. It's easy to read those words, but what kind of severe testing did Paul encounter? Do you remember? Stoning. And stoning with real stones, okay? All right, big stones. Got put in jail for no good reason. What else? Was whipped, right? He was imprisoned. Sometimes without due process. Right? And I want you to look up back on Paul's life. He wrote four letters to churches to encourage them from prison. He wasn't jumping up and down for the ACLU to say, hey, I didn't get due process, and this and that. Now, Paul was no dummy. Paul uses Roman citizenship to shame his captor and his captives. But his main concern was his loyalty to the mission that Jesus gave to him. Everyone who is born again has a mission. Well, I don't know what that is. Well, let me just give you an easy one. Go into your world and make disciples of Jesus Christ, teaching them everything he taught you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That applies to all of us. Paul never lost sight of what he was called to do. The latest figures I get from different organizations like Gallup and Barna and some of the other ones is simply this, that more than 87% of professing believers drop out of church. That should never be. That should never be. God is completely loyal to us, so loyal that he was willing to sacrifice his son. And that was an act of love. That's the supreme act of love. And in response, we need to love him back. How do we love him? By showing our loyalty. Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Let's look. Paul says, look back at my history. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly from house to house. What Paul is saying to you here is, I gave you the whole counsel of God. I told you about sin and the effects of sin. I told you about God's love and his covenants and his grace. I told you about God's righteousness. I told you about everything that I knew from the scriptures, Paul was saying. I didn't hold anything back, whether you wanted to hear it or not. Paul was bold. And not in a harsh way. He just didn't hold back the truth. I remember I've had one or two instances where, you know, people would come up to me and say, hey, you know, if you talk about sin, you're going to turn people off. I said, I'm not talking about it. The Bible does. But this is the mentality sometimes today. You know, it's more important to keep people in the seats and give them something they want to hear instead of what they need to hear. Parents, when your kids were growing up, how many times did you tell your kids they had to brush their teeth? Right? They don't want to hear that. How many times did you have to tell them, before you go out and play, if you cross the street, look both ways? How many times did you have to tell them to take the garbage out? Calm down, Mom. It's not just the kids. Right? If we're honest with ourselves and we're in the Word of God, one of the things we have to understand that the Word of God will reveal our rebellion against God. And we need to confess it and repent of it. But we don't stay there because we're called to live in God's grace. That sin, that rebellion was nailed to the cross 2,000 years ago. But you have to preach the whole counsel of God. I said this the week before Dr. Paul was here last week, who I know you enjoyed, right?
Yes.
He's great. There are preachers, very popular preachers, and if you follow their sermons, in some cases you'll never hear about sin. You'll never hear about the necessity to repent and confess before God, all you will hear is, how can I say it, good stuff that you want to hear. Paul says in his letter to the Thessalonians, there's going to come a time, in the end times, and we're in the end times, we were since the day of the cross, that people in churches are going to want to have their ears tickled. I would suggest to you we're probably very close to that. Mm-hmm. You know, I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you. Listen, body language speaks loud words. Mm-hmm. When I'm preaching, I make statements like, marriage is sacred. And if you choose to live contrary to God's direction of marriage, and you choose to live with someone outside of marriage, you're setting yourself up for some real problems and issues. Well, we don't need to get married in the church, and you know, a certificate shouldn't make any difference. Really? Go to a Cadillac dealer, find the most expensive Cadillac, and tell the salesman you want to take it without signing any papers. How far do you think you're going to get? Well, paper means nothing. Oh, yeah, it does. You're committing to pay this off. Before the eyes of God, the marriage covenant, and I think Paul went over this with you, the marriage covenant is a covenant between you and God saying, we believe in the holiness of marriage. And we believe that God knows what he's doing because God created marriage. We need to get married for the right reasons. We need to do it God's way. Because he knows what's best for us. I talk to business people, and sometimes they'll slip and they'll say to me, well, you know, church is church and business is business. I said, well, what does that mean? Well, you know, everybody cuts corners in business. I said, really? Everybody? Yeah, and you know, sometimes they'll tell me, hey, but I keep two set of books. Oh, yeah, why is that? Well, one that I know what we're really doing, and one for the bank and the IRS. And I said, listen, if you're a professing Christian, you should be faithful even in your job. I don't care if you own the company or not. You should be faithful in your job. You know, here in Ocean County for a long time, employment for the most part has been part-time, in retail stores or fast food places. And I talk a lot with young people. I like talking to young people. And I'll hear complaints like, I don't get paid enough. You know, I hate this job. My boss is a jerk, or, you know, whatever. And I'm saying, are you kidding me? First of all, you agreed to take the job, number one. Second of all, you agreed to the wage you're getting paid. Third of all, the Bible says, give a good day's work for a good day's pay. We have to take that where we go. Give a good day's work for a good day's pay. God will honor that. And the fact of the matter is, if you don't like the job, look for something else, but don't quit until you get something else. I mean, it's a no-brainer, right? And yet, and it's not just the kids. It's not just the kids. When I talk about the sanctity of life, I see some people start to scream. Life starts to move a conception. When I speak about from Genesis, how God made male and female. That's what he did. Male and female. So people get uneasy. When I talk about the little sins, as we call them, God doesn't say they're so little, by the way. Gossip. Right? Cheating. Stealing. How many people I've met who would say to me, yeah, I got this from my job. They have a lot of money. They'll never miss it. That's stealing. No matter how you cut it, that's stealing. You know, if you don't have the permission to take it, it's stealing. And what about stealing from God? Now we're going to hit the pocketbook. Right? The principle of giving and tithing. Now, Pastor, now you're really meddling. No, not really. Because that principle was started well before the law was given, by the way, by a high priest called Melchizedek. When Abraham met Melchizedek, Abraham just knew somehow that he should give a tenth of what he had to the high priest to further the ministry. The pastor, come on, nobody does that. Listen, it's estimated now that less than 2% of people in evangelical churches tithe. Less than 2%. I want to give you another stunning statistic. here's the statistic, that if people would be obedient and tithe in a church of any size, that church would have no need and would be able to help the community in a much more effective way. There are people, there's some great examples for me. I had the opportunity years ago to meet Rick Warren from Saddleback. And Rick Warren, when he wrote The Purpose-Driven Life, Death of the Purpose-Driven Church, he didn't expect the book to sell. And it became one of the best sellers, even on secular reading lists, it became one of the best sellers. And what he did from the proceeds of that, he paid Saddleback Church every penny they ever paid him a salary. And he and his wife decided to stay in the same house and decided to keep 10% of the income and tithe 90% to the church. And not everybody can do that, I know that. But you see where his heart's at, right? Listen. You often hear me say, show me your checkbook, I'll tell you what your priorities are. Show me your calendar, I'll tell you what your priorities are. And, you know, Paul taught this all. Even when, he got pushed back. There are times I leave here on a Sunday, and, I'll say, did I get through to people? I should have had some pushback. And, I usually get it Monday morning, okay? But, he gets some pushback. Paul got a lot of pushback, but he didn't hesitate to say what would be a benefit to the church. We need more preachers like this. He was loyal to his calling. Let me take you through a second. Review this, and then I'll complete it next week. He says, I declare to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in what? Repentance? And have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Very simple. Right? I wonder, there's three things I wonder, and now that we're getting back to maybe normal, whatever it is, I often ask people questions. I would say to them, can you tell me what sin is? Be surprised at the answers I get. Almost always, it's not what the Bible says it is. Okay? Well, have you ever heard the word repentance? Well, is that like penance? Not really, but it's similar. Well, I've heard penance. Well, what does penance mean? Well, if you do enough things and say enough prayers, God will forgive you. And I'll say, well, no, it's not as deep as that. All repentance means is a change of mind and heart where you turn away from sin and you turn in faith to God. That's all it means. And he preached this. I want to suggest to you one of the issues that we have in the church today is that nobody likes. I gotta say this carefully. Nobody likes to be judged. Right? Who are you to judge me? Well, listen, I don't judge anyone. Right? But through the Spirit of God and the Word of God, if you're reading the Scriptures and you're hearing something preached and it hits a nerve, you better listen. You better listen. Because here's what we do today. We take sin and we want to legitimize it. We want to be validated for it, rather than confess it and repent of it. I'll give you an example of the church. The divorce rate in the church is higher than in the world. It's kind of startling, right? The average evangelical goes to church 1.3 times a month. Well, one of the things Paul would say to the Ephesians is don't forsake the assembly as some have become accustomed to. Right? And, sins are unpleasant to hear, but you say, oh. But God never leaves you there. He says, confess it to me, and I'll take your hand, and we'll go on together. That's a great promise. That's a great promise. We're going to pick it up here next week, because we're going to talk about how loyalty shows itself in the present. We just looked at how loyalty shows itself in the past. How loyalty shows itself in the present. For everybody who's here today, and I know a great many of you, I thank you for coming. I really do. From the bottom of my heart, I thank you for coming. I know many of you have been through some tough times. And I thank you for standing on a solid rock. I thank you. Because here's why. We know that if we stand on the promises of Christ, we know if we stand on the authority of the Word, and through the Holy Spirit, if He gives us the strength and power to remain obedient to Him, do the right thing, even through tough times, He's going to get us through. You're all testimonies of that. You're all testimonies. And when we look back in the past and we see how faithful God was, and sometimes how unfaithful we've been to God, now we can come into the present and say, Lord, you've given me a calling. Help me to complete that calling. And that's what we're picking up next week. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I'm never ashamed of God's word. And as a pastor, I really try to give to you the whole counsel of God. It's one of the reasons why I'll preach topically sometimes, but most times I'll preach through a book. And the reason for that is that when you stay through a book, that you're going to hit on different areas that God wants us to hear. That's a good thing. So now we come to communion. The table that you see in back of me, there is writing on this table, this communion table. And the table is a symbol of God's righteousness and His forgiveness in Jesus Christ. This table is for people who know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. You don't have to be a member of this church or any church, but it's for people who have embraced Christ by faith alone, and it is the opportunity for imperfect people like you and me to come clean before God. Isn't that wonderful? Anybody here perfect? I'm certainly not. Follow me for about 10 minutes. And we'll say. But this is a place where brothers and sisters in Christ can come and dine at the Lord's table. He prepares a table for me. Before what? My enemies. My cup runneth over. This is a place for sinners. So, you all have your cup, right? And I have to ask you a question after communion. So I got to find my cup. Right? Here it is. On the night Jesus was betrayed, talking about quitting, Jesus went through, was betrayed by one of his own disciples, right? And at the Last Supper, he still ministered to all of them. And then, when they came to arrest him, of course, Peter, who usually speaks and thinks later, so he says, you know, you're not taking my Savior, and he chops the ear off of the guards, right? You know that story? And Jesus says, no, this is not the way to do it. And he stores the ear on the ground. Then Jesus had to endure 3 kangaroo courts. You talking about reason to quit? Remember in the garden? Lord, if there's Father, if there's any other way, please. I mean, he was in agony. Sweat, blood. And it says, after the 3rd petition, I love this. He knew that the Father's grace was going to be sufficient for him. And Scripture says nothing caused me joy. Unbelievable. Because for Jesus, he wanted to complete his mission of salvation down here. No matter what. And so, Jesus at that Last Supper, take the bread, the wafer. I always have to. It was the Passover, right? He used the unleavened bread as an illustration of his body, which was going to be broken for them. So he probably passed a, I don't even know if you can call it a loaf, but unleavened bread is kind of flat, right? He passed that around and he broke it. And he says, this is the symbol of my body, which is going to be broken for you, because I love you. He says, when you eat this, do this in remembrance of me. Is the symbol of the blood of Christ. Scripture says, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. Before we partake of the cup, I'd just like to ask for a moment of silence, and that you would ask the Spirit of God and the Word of God to examine your heart. If there's any sin that needs to be confessed, now's the time to do it. And it'll be done with. That's the promise of God. It'll be done with. But it's the time to confess. Would you do that now? Jesus took the 3rd cup of the Passover supper, and he passed it around. He says, this is a symbol of my blood, the new covenant I make with you. And the covenant is simply this, that when you trust me as your personal Lord and Savior, that this blood will cleanse you from sin once and for all. And secondly, I will never ever leave you or forsake you. You talk about loyalty? I won't leave you or forsake you. Listen, I've used this illustration before, I love it. Back in the old days when cars had bench seats, right? And you were dating, right? You pick up your date, and you couldn't get close enough. Sometimes the girl would sit on your lap, while you're driving. And so this couple, they dated, they got serious, they got married, and about 2 or 3 years into the marriage, they're driving, and she's all the way by the window, and the husband is driving. She looks at the husband and says, you remember when we used to sit close together? He says, absolutely. She says, what happened? He said, I haven't moved. She moved. Same thing with God. God hasn't moved. We choose to move further from him. Listen to what I'm going to say carefully. I don't care if you're 10,000 miles from God this morning. It's only one step back. And that's through confession and repentance. Because your sin's been paid for on the cross of Calvary. Jesus says, when you drink this cup, do this say something to you, and if you disagree with me, it's okay. On your worst day, Jesus will never let you go. On your worst day, you may not feel he's there, you may not think he's there, but he's there. He will never, ever let you go. Let me just ask a question I need to ask before we end with a song. How do you guys feel now about going back to communion with the plates?
We're allowed?
Yeah. We are allowed. Anybody opposed to it? I mean, if you're opposed to it, we'll still keep some cups here. Okay? But I think it's time we get back to communion with the plates. And also the offering with the plates. We have the box still set up here. So if that's okay, that's what we'll plan for. All right? Yeah. Yeah, it's good stuff. So God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
Kimmy and Chip. And Sharon. Would you stand, please? Would you sing the song prayerfully?
Me, 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 me.
Enjoy God and have a great day. Let's pray. Father, would you send us off in the power of the Holy Spirit? Encourage our hearts. And Holy Spirit, give us the desire and the strength to continue to be loyal to our Savior. Forgive us when we fail. And pick us up again. And lead us. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
God's people said,
amen.
God bless. Have a great day.